welcome to the Diet Detox Podcast. I'm your host, Margaret Berry, a functional nutritional therapy practitioner, master TTAP trainer, and mother of two. I'm joined by my co-host, Victoria Wilkes, a fellow intuitive eater, passionate TTAPper, and mother of two. Each week, we want to empower you with new information about the way our bodies and minds work together to bring us into balance when we are well-nourished and well-fed. Victoria and I are not only good friends, but we are also lucky enough to be sisters-in-law. So join us as we discuss topics such as body image, intuitive eating, women's health, pregnancy and postpartum nutrition, the science behind nutrition and exercise, and so much more. Remember our disclaimer, the materials and content within this podcast are intended as general information only and are not to be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Now let's get to the show. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Diet Detox Podcast. I'm your host, Margaret Berry, here with Victoria Wilkes. How are you doing?
Doing really well. I got my tea, got my knitting. It's raining outside. You might be able to hear it depending on.
It's raining here too, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a hurricane. I actually read it was a leftover hurricane.
Oh, man.
Coming up this way, but
fun times.
Yeah, so let's start out with our normal segment, which is what have you been eating recently that's been really good? So what have you been eating?
Well, speaking of recently, as in like 5 seconds before we hit record, it was my birthday this past week. And so my husband got me a couple of cartons of the So Delicious ice cream, the dairy-free ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
Mom didn't know, and she bought me a couple cartons, and I was like, I have hit the mother load.
Yeah, you really lucked out then.
Oh man, so I was eating a little bit of the salted caramel cashew cluster, which is my favorite. It's like cashew milk ice cream, and it is so delicious. I would dare anybody who is used to eating dairy.
Mm-hmm.
Them to tell number one tell that it's not dairy, and number two, like, that it's not the most delicious ice cream you've ever had in your life.
Oh yum. Oh, yeah, I love that brand. Pretty much all of their flavors are top notch, and you can't tell that it's not dairy. So because so many people, like my husband, he does okay with dairy, but he gets stuffy when he eats it, so he kind of tends to avoid it. But yeah, some people just don't react well. And I do okay with ice cream, but I will choose the So Delicious brand just because it's so good.
It is. Gosh. What about you? What have you been eating?
Yeah, so it's kind of boring, but Aldi recently started carrying 60% chocolate chunks. Ooh. So I've been using that in a lot of different recipes. I made some no-bake cookies I have a recipe for, which we could probably link this. I was just thinking we could link it. But it's a recipe for no-bake cookies that uses half oats and half shredded coconut, unsweetened shredded coconut. So it's more fatty. It's more fatty and nice for, you know, milk supply and all that. And I used the melted chocolate in there instead of the cocoa powder the other day. And I was like, this is good stuff. So it's kind of two things, but it's the 60% chips that's like some Belgian chocolate, and then adding them in recipes like the no-bake cookies. Very good.
Yeah, I'll definitely link that to the show notes.
Yeah, it's a really good recipe, and it uses coconut oil and maple syrup or honey as the sweetener. So it's not too sweet. It's not, you know, because sometimes no-bake cookies are just very, very sweet to where you're like, is this fudge or a cookie? Right. You know, which there's nothing wrong with having something sweet, but it's just sometimes it's like, this is a little overkill here, you know?
Sometimes you can enjoy more of it whenever it's not like assaulting your system,
Yeah, exactly. It's like, whoa. I mean, I remember I was in Germany a couple years ago, and I had some cake there, and their cakes are completely different than cakes in the U.S. to start, like, first of all. But second of all, they are just they're not as sweet, so you can enjoy all the other flavors in there. Because they still use sugar, but there's just so many other flavors in there that you're like, wow, this is quite complex and good. So, yeah, so that's kind of an interesting segue talking about food, but because we're going to be talking about some signs of not eating enough. So these can be a little bit more subtle than
your stomach is growling, you know, and you're hungry as a sign that you're not eating enough. Obviously, that's true. But these are ones that are a little bit further down the chain that you might see and not associate with not eating enough. We might pass them off as some other thing with our bodies, like we need to do this or that, or take this supplement or take that supplement, when in reality, it might just be that your body is not getting enough food for its metabolic processes and all of your bodily functions. So right. These are just some that we have collected, because I know that before I was eating enough, I thought that I wasn't. I thought that I was eating plenty. But then I realized that some of these symptoms that I was having were because I was not eating enough. It didn't mean that I needed to take this certain supplement or anything like that. It was just literally my body was saying, excuse me, you're asking us to drive this car down the road at 50 miles an hour every day, and you're not giving us any fuel. So right. What do you expect us to do? We're going to pull some necessary functions, you know?
Right. And this is not something that I had written down, but it just occurred to me how simple of kind of a test it could be if you're, you know, listening to this and you're kind of curious, am I eating enough? A really simple way, if it won't bother you mentally, if it doesn't trigger you mentally, is to just try counting calories, count up what you've eaten for the day. Yes. And most, I mean, it's very, very generalized, but most human women, not pregnant, not nursing, just doing normal, moderate levels of activity, need about 2000 calories minimum. Mm-hmm. And so that would be a super simple way. Like if you count up calories, you're like, wow, I'm at 1400.
Right.
Obviously, I'm probably not getting enough, you know, that could be a really simple way of telling.
Yes, for sure. And like you said, if it's not triggering, because I know for some people it can be, I actually would check how much I was eating when I was pregnant to make sure I was eating enough, because there's a lot of things that can happen in pregnancy that are a direct result of you not being nourished enough. So right. I actually would be like, yes, I ate 3000 calories today, you know, because I would try to calculate for the fact that I was nursing my daughter until I was 20 weeks pregnant. And then I was also exercising and training. And so, yeah, it's right. Bio-individual, but 2000 is like that's kind of the minimum. Like, and people can say, oh, I'm petite and whatnot. Okay. Well, you know, it really doesn't differ a whole lot. It can go up a little bit or down a little bit. And sometimes it can go up a lot if you're breastfeeding, like a whole lot. But you know, it is bio-individual, but if you just as a spot check, you know, if take it as a dare, like if you'll take it as a dare, you know, we dare you just for fun, see how much, and you may be surprised.
So. Right. Yeah. A lot. Most women think they're eating too much when in reality, they're probably not eating enough. And for me, I'm one of the people who gets quite triggered. And so I tend to go off of, like, it just bothers me really badly to mess with calories and think about calories. And mm-hmm. so I tend to go off the signs that we're going to be mentioning.
Yes.
Now, like, you know, how's my sleep and how's my, you know, mm-hmm. milk supply and things like that.
Yes. So if you are triggered by the, you know, counting the calorie to see how much you are getting in, you can just listen to these signs. And if you, you know, if you have quite a few of them, then it might be worth looking into. It's very simple. It, like I had in my notes here, it's not super flashy or cool. You know, it's not like a new special supplement or superfood that you're going to take that's going to change your life. It's actually just, instead of eating a half a sweet potato, eat the whole sweet potato. Instead of eating two eggs, eat three eggs. And, you know, instead of using a tablespoon of coconut oil, use two tablespoons. It's just little, like, bump it up. So, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and it can make a huge difference. And you're right that it's not flashy, and mm-hmm. you're not going to see a program or a detox or whatever that's going to be like, hey, why don't you check out if you're eating more?
Yeah, but no, it's going to
sense. You know, like if your body doesn't have the fuel it needs, it's going to compromise somewhere. It's going to have to compromise somewhere. And that's what a lot of these signs are going to be that we're mentioning, is your body can't, you know, if you're under eating, your body cannot sustain mm-hmm. all of its functions at optimal levels. So it has to give up on some things.
Yes, exactly. It's kind of like that. It can't, you know, do all of the things. So it's going to have to prioritize. And a lot of these things are just a example of the body prioritizing survival over thriving, So, right. For example, thriving would be, you know, having a baby, or, you know, being able to exercise, or being able to sleep well, you know, those things, like going above and beyond kind of the normal day-to-day function of your life, if that makes sense. Right. So it kind of has to pare things down. So, yeah.
Yes. Do you want to jump into, do you want to kind of take them, you start. Okay. We have some that we've written.
Okay. I'll start with the one that I think is one of the first signs, and it is issues sleeping or sleeping problems, such as insomnia, trouble falling asleep, trouble staying asleep. And the reason why this is a sign of not eating enough is that when you don't eat enough food, your liver basically doesn't have enough stored glycogen or stored glucose to be able to go a long period of time without it being taken in. Because your liver can actually store, I forget how many grams of glucose that your body needs in order to operate your brain and all of your other functions while you're sleeping. So if you don't eat enough, your liver doesn't have enough there to pull from the reserves for when you're sleeping. So your body, when it can't have the glucose from your liver, and your liver's basically like, I don't have anything, it goes to your adrenals, which produce cortisol. And then cortisol, of course, is a stress hormone, and it basically sends this message, catabolize all of the muscle that we can to make some sugar. And it takes a big process to even make that sugar or glucose when the liver or when the adrenals send those signals. So it sends those signals, like break down the tissue to make more glucose. And then when those stress hormones are released is usually when people will wake up at night, is because their body is like, we can't fall asleep for a long time because we're not sure if we're going to wake up. So we're waking you up now to tell you, you know, oh, something might not be right. So sleeping problems, I would say, is one of the first ones, because usually your other functions will not be touched. It's usually the sleeping first, because your body really wants to be able to rest, because that's its rest and repair time. And if it can't rest and repair, then you're going to have a lot of other issues down the road. But basically, it can't have staying power for staying asleep, because it's a survival function, because it's not sure if you're literally going to be able to survive an 8-hour stretch without taking things in. So that's one of the ones that I often mention, and that we've both experienced, because I know I had a lot of trouble with that starting out, where I would have trouble falling asleep or staying asleep. So, and then I think another one that I wanted to cover here as well, which is kind of funny, is constipation. Now, a lot of people wouldn't think that constipation has anything to do with not eating enough. But if you look at it first on a practical level, if you're not taking in, oh, sorry, are you there?
Yes. Okay, yes. Cool. Sorry. Did I drop off?
Oh yeah. Yeah, you did. But it's okay. We're talking about constipation now, you know, favorite topic.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, but the thing about constipation that's interesting is that if you look at it from a practical perspective of literally, if you're not taking in enough food, there won't be enough there to digest, because usually what excess is eliminated is the stuff that's the extra. So if you don't have much extra to spare, what's going to happen? Well, you're not going to have much to eliminate. So that's something.
Right, which is really uncomfortable. If anybody's ever dealt with that, it's awful.
It is. And I had horrible problems with constipation. There was other issues involved with mine, but a big one was I was not taking in enough food to be able to have any excess. There wasn't much there. And so then everything just gets all backed up. And another thing, a lot of times if someone says they have constipation, it can be related to having low thyroid function, because the thyroid hormone conversion slows down, and that decreases peristalsis, or the movement of the gut to create a bowel movement. It actually decreases that ability of your body to move things out. So when your T3 drops, the gut motility, or the ability of your gut to eliminate stuff, actually goes down. So it's a twofold kind of thing. So that kind of goes along with the thyroid though.
Yeah. With the thyroid function, which is specifically from what I don't know nearly as much about it as you do, but I do know that carbs have, like, not just eating enough, say eating plenty of keto, but like you need to also have carbs for your thyroid to function properly. Yes.
It's easier for it. It's kind of like giving it the raw materials that it needs for energy, or making it bend over backwards to make it itself. That being glucose, the actual substance of glucose. So, because your body can, obviously, people who are eating super duper duper low carb all the time, they're not dying, right? They're still walking around. Your body can do it. Your body can make glucose from nothing. But unfortunately, it can be stressful for a lot of people, like especially women. So it can be stressful, and it can have unintended consequences on your thyroid. So, let's see. Let's do another one about thyroid, which is hair loss. So, and hair loss is something, it can be, you know, there's a lot of other reasons for it, but usually the hair loss is tied to two things, either low iron, or it is tied to hypothyroid. So again, if someone has a slow thyroid, the sex hormones are actually going to slow down. They're basically going to take a back seat while our friend cortisol, the stress hormone that the adrenal makes, that's going to be the dominant factor, is the cortisol. It basically elbows out every other hormone and is like, we're the new boss in town. You guys can't participate. So that
does your body increase the cortisol because it's trying to alert you to the fact that you need to eat more? Is that
in my interpretation of it, it is a survival instinct. It's kind of like the bear is chasing you sort of thing. And even though you're not being chased by a bear, you're avoiding, you know, eating enough food, and that eventually catches up to you. But of course, yes, it's kind of like a survival mechanism. Basically, it's telling your muscles to break down so that there can be glucose created, so that your body can, now we have enough glucose to run the brain. Because the brain is, I don't think a lot of people know this, but your brain is a big glucose hog. It is very, I forget what percentage of glucose is needed to run the brain, but it's quite a bit that your brain alone, just your brain to function, needs that. So, and like I said, of course, if any keto people are going to come after me, yes, you can do it without, you can. And there's whole programs to teach you how, and, you know, have fun if you'd like to do that. I work with people who have done that, who are like, my thyroid and my metabolism are tanked, you know, help.
And also going with that, speaking of the brain, like fuzzy thoughts, like not being able to think clearly, low energy. Something that I've noticed is like, it's not an audible buzzing, but it's like this static in my brain whenever I haven't eaten in a while and my blood sugar is getting low. It's almost like I can't think of anything else, but I need to go eat. I need to go eat. And it's just like this fuzz in my brain. And then whenever I eat, it's like this clarity.
Yes.
And I can think clearly again. And so that's kind of several things at once, but like inability to think clearly, kind of the buzzing in your brain and the low energy just in general. I mean, it makes sense. Like you were saying with the car, if you don't have enough fuel, how is your car going to be super revving up and like peppy and ready to go with no gas?
Right. Exactly. It's like, you're making me run on fumes here. So, I mean, and it further with the car analogy, which I love, if you were driving your car and you're running on fumes, if the car had like a, I don't know, an AI or human personality, it might say, okay, buddy, I'm cutting off your air conditioning. Okay, I'm cutting off the power steering. And that's actually what happens, because I have, believe it or not, this is kind of embarrassing, but I've run out of gas when I'm driving the car before, and the power steering goes out right before the whole thing, you know, shuts down. Right. So it's funny, because if you think about it as, okay, it's going to turn the lights off, next it's going to turn the air conditioning off, and then finally, you know, the power steering goes out, and then you're just stuck on the side of the road. And so I love that analogy, because it is true. And obviously our bodies are more complex than cars. In fact, it should make it even more compelling, the fact that our bodies are so much more complex than cars, that there's so much more things going on that we need to respect. So, let's see. So another one that I wanted to touch on was the feeling cold all the time. And this is typically a thyroid thing as well. Again, you're going to hear me say thyroid a lot because it does, your thyroid needs to be happy in order for a lot of these functions to occur. And of course, for those of you who don't know what the thyroid is, it's a gland that's right at your neck. Kind of if you feel it in the middle of your neck, middle lower part of your neck, it kind of looks like a butterfly. That's where it is. And it is very important for controlling so many processes in your body, with from digestion to hormones to sleep to fertility, all of that. It's kind of the master signaler. And above that is the hypothalamus and pituitary. And they kind of are the master controller. And then the thyroid is below that. So it's worth noting here too, that sometimes the hypothalamus and pituitary can have a problem instead of the thyroid, because the thyroid is downstream. So when I say thyroid, think thyroid, pituitary, all of that stuff. Cause it can, have clients sometimes where their problem is with the signaler, not with the signal taker and the maker of the hormones, which is the thyroid. Mm-hmm. So, but the cold all the time, what happens with that is that if you don't take in enough energy, it leads to less energy storage. And like I mentioned with the glycogen, because your liver's made to hold a certain amount of glycogen as backup. Mm-hmm. It's designed to do that. That's why if people have done a keto diet, usually it's day three that you're like, I'm going to die. And that's because your liver has about used up all of its glycogen, and you're hitting that wall where you're going to have to start. And I'm going to use a big word here, but they're going to have to start gluconeogenesis, which is making glucose from your body structure. Like, let's break down this bicep right here a little bit so we can have some glucose. Very oversimplified, but you get my drift. So when you take in less energy, it leads to that less energy storage in your body, and therefore less energy conversion. And then you get a lower body temp as a result. So if you take your temperature and it is typically very low, and you just say, well, I just run a low temperature, that can be a sign of thyroid. It's not always, but it can be a sign of thyroid, and it can be a sign that your body doesn't feel safe. So it's going with the car analogy, it's turning out the lights or it's turning off the air conditioning because it can't sustain that. So it's just down regulating that function. And and so it actually literally creates less heat in your body. So I don't know if you've ever been to an outdoor event where you were made to go to football games when you were a kid, where it was 45 degrees or 40 degrees and raining. But I remember I would sit there and I'd be like, okay, I'm getting hungry, but also feel so cold. Maybe I'll just eat something. And you eat something, and what happens? You feel warm. You start to feel warmer, and it's because your body's creating that internal heat. So your metabolism is like that, where it needs to have that steady fuel so that it can continue to do its work, because it will downregulate if you, deprive it enough and, cut calories back enough. It's just going to downregulate and go, oh, okay, we need to downregulate another notch and just decrease our expectations that they're going to take in food. So we're going to take the thyroid down a little bit just so that it can, everything else can function. So,
And then in conjunction with the breaking down muscle, I found it very interesting. One time I listened to a podcast about pregnancy nutrition, and it was from a vegan mother, and I don't know if she was a mother, but she was a vegan, and she works with pregnant vegan women, and they typically have a harder time with nutrition during pregnancy because their selection of food is limited. So they're on a kind of necessarily restrictive diet, which can be really problematic during pregnancy, problematic to get enough calories and all that. And so what her kind of test that she uses is, can you build muscle? And like in the gym, say you're trying to do weights or whatever, can you build muscle? Because if you can't build muscle, you can't build a baby, is kind of her analogy.
I love that.
And so she was saying, make sure you're eating enough and enough variety, enough protein, enough calories and whatever, to where you can build muscle. And not just for pregnant ladies, but I think that it would apply to this too. Like, maybe if you're finding that you cannot build muscle, and in conjunction with some of these other signs, maybe your body can't build the muscle because it's constantly kind of breaking it down for glucose. So maybe keep that in mind as well. If you're kind of somebody who likes to build muscle, likes to go to the gym, and then suddenly like, wow, I can't build any muscle.
Yes.
Not eating enough could be part of that.
Yep. Cause the muscle will be kind of that will go. And if you've noticed with older people, who maybe are in, you know, nursing home where they maybe they're not moving as much, but also their body, as you get older, you get less and less muscle mass just in your body. Mm-hmm. And some have theorized that it's just, you know, that's just what happens when you age. But it's interesting because that happens with people, younger people who are, you know, calorically restricting and not fueling themselves for their workouts. But it also happens, right, you know, just naturally, for some as aging, but it doesn't have to, you know, you can, there's stuff you can do. But yeah, that's super interesting because, right, you know, if you're building a baby has muscles too.
Right. So
the baby is a lot of, you know, has a lot of more, even more than muscle in there, but yeah, the amino acids and everything that you need, your baby needs too. So yeah.
You, and it's like you said in your notes here, it's not really rocket science that if you need your body to function in these certain ways, you have to feed it properly in order for it to function.
Yes.
Like it, you know, if you're going to build a baby, you got to give it the raw materials. If you want to sleep, you got to give it enough glucose. Or if you want to build muscle, you have to fuel it properly. Like it's just kind of basic. And we don't really think about it because our culture is constantly telling us to eat less, mm-hmm, but it's very common sense whenever you think about it. If your body doesn't have the raw materials it needs, it's going to suffer in some way or a lot,
yes,
of ways.
Yes. And, you know, less, it's kind of funny because if you think about it, more food equals more nutrients, less food, yes, equals less nutrients. Like, why is that? Like, you know, right. I'll talk to people and they're like, oh, I just guess I need to, you know, cut down my calories. And I'm like, the calories that you, of which you speak, have the nutrients that you need for this thing that's going on. And if you cut them down, you're going to get less. Like, right. It doesn't make sense. But of course, you know, the whole, you know, got to look a certain way or a certain size or whatever. I get that. That's, people equate that with health. So,
right. Well, yeah. And that's kind of a thing. And that's kind of a thing to consider whenever you're kind of thinking about, do I need to eat more? You know, maybe you've counted calories. Maybe you have a really hard time sleeping. Maybe you do have the low energy and you're cold all the time, but it can be really scary to think of eating more because eating more could potentially mean gaining weight. And that is a scary thing in our society. And we've been raised to think of that as like the worst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you think about all these things like sleep and thyroid function and, you know, proper digestion and be able to have a healthy pregnancy and all these things, what are you going to lose by trying to eat more? Like,
right,
maybe would you gain some weight? Would it be kind of scary? Would it be uncomfortable? Would it hurt your vanity? Like, I get that. I get, yeah, how scary it can be. But if you think about the potential benefits.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
It's kind of a no-brainer. You know, if you think about the benefits of just try it, you know, what do, right, you have to lose?
Right, exactly.
If you're suspicious that you're eating, not eating enough, or people around you in your life are saying, hey, I think you're not eating enough, and you're insistent that you are, and you're experiencing all these different health issues, why not try it?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It is, you know, like we said, it's not super flashy. It's not the latest cleanse or whatever's going on, you know, in the mainstream detoxy world. You know, it's not always the cool thing. It can sometimes be, you know, simple, which, hey, right, don't we like simple? No, we like to make things complicated. I think, right, sometimes, I know, well, I do.
And I think that in the way that we view health in the Western world, we compartmentalize everything. We go to one doctor for our eye problems. We go to one doctor for our energy. We go to one doctor for our thyroid. We go to another doctor for our constipation. Whenever and every doctor is individually analyzing everything and giving you a different pill or a different regimen. Mm-hmm. Whenever maybe it could be, if you look at it in a big picture, it could be as simple as that you're not fueling yourself properly. So
yes, yes.
That's something to consider.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And let's see, let's talk about one of the signs of not eating enough, which is the irregular periods or no periods. Now, of course, this doesn't count, mm-hmm, if you're in menopause and you're having no periods. That's what menopause is. But we're talking, right, about childbearing, women of childbearing age with very irregular or no periods. A lot of athletes will lose their period, and in some sports, it's encouraged. such as running, gymnastics, some of those sports, it's actually encouraged as a good thing or a sign that you're really toughing it out, you know?
Right.
And it's just, again, your body has to feel safe in order to have a cycle. It has to feel like there is hope of reproduction that happens with, you know, the possibility of a cycle. Like you actually, your body favors survival over reproduction. That's just how it works. Again, with the prioritization of what, you know, your body wants to do. So that can be something that a lot of people don't realize, that, you know, if you lose your period, that's a big sign that there, you've got to look a bit deeper there. And a lot of people don't want to hear the answer. I know I didn't. They don't want to hear the answer of you need to gain weight to get your period back. But sometimes you do. Sometimes you have to gain 5 pounds. Some people will gain 10. But you have to make your body feel like it is safe and that it can have hope of reproduction. That's just kind of one of the things that your body does, is it prioritizes the bodily functions other than reproduction. And reproduction is one of the things that it will shut down when we don't give it enough food and we don't make it feel safe. So making your body feel safe may look like, for some people, gaining 5 pounds. For some people, it might look like where they accidentally, they're just going along their way, eating plenty, and they might lose a little bit. It doesn't look the same for everybody, but it is hard. I know it's hard to think about, you know, I would not like to gain 5 pounds, but what if you needed 5 pounds gained to benefit your overall health and your female hormonal profile? Because your cycle and the hormones that are produced in there are very complex. And in order to regulate them, you have to make your body feel safe. You just have to have that there so that your body knows that it is not in danger of of not being able to reproduce. So I know for me, I had a time when my period was just gone. I think it was close to a year where it was completely gone. My period just completely went away. And it was scary for me to think. I remember thinking, well, I can't, like, this is not healthy. I know that having a cycle is actually healthy hormonally. I was like, I know that, but how do I, you know, I had to really think about it. And I think for me, what helped was thinking about long-term benefits over a short-term pain or problem. Mm-hmm. And the pain and the problem being was gain weight. Now, for me, I was extremely underweight when I lost my period. Now, some people, they can go, you know, under their weight a little bit and lose their period. For other people, they can go, you know, they have to go 30 pounds, 40 pounds below, and then they will start to see issues with their cycle. But for me, I was very underweight. I had to gain, I don't even remember how much I gained to, and looking back, I don't know. Like, I think my body just needed that to feel safe. It needed it to feel like it was okay.
Well, it makes sense if you just think about it in the way that we're designed. If your body feels under threat, and that's why some women lose their period just from stress alone, is because if your body feels threatened, then it thinks, ooh, now's not a good time to have a baby. And so it kind of shuts down shut down the reproductive system. Mm-hmm. And that would also just tie in a little bit of low libido is also side effect of not eating enough. It goes all with the reproductive health. Like whenever when you lose your period, your libido just drops through the floor. And then another kind of in the reproductive realm is low milk supply. If you're a nurse and you can't get enough milk and you can't sustain a good milk supply, sometimes that can be very simply from not eating enough, because you're breastfeeding requires a ridiculous amount of energy and fuel. And I know firsthand from my daughter, it was a combination of me under eating plus her lip and tongue tie. But I had to add 1,000 calories into my diet to get my milk supply back up. And then with my son, I did the Brewer diet. I was totally on board with intuitive eating and eating more and all that. But if I, because he's such a big baby, the last time we weighed him this past week, he is 19 pounds, 10
oh my
ounces.
Word.
He is not even 8 months old yet. So he's a big,
he's a big boy.
And I'm sustaining him with just milk. So this time around, my milk supply is very sensitive to how much I eat.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go even like a week, there was a week earlier this spring whenever I was spring cleaning and I kept forgetting to eat and ignoring mm-hmm. my hunger because I was like, oh, I'm busy. My milk supply tanked. And then I was able to get it back up within a few days. But if you have trouble keeping a consistently good milk supply for breastfeeding, that's also something to look into is just, are you eating enough? Are you eating yes. enough to sustain you plus another person?
Yes, for sure. And that the milk supply, I've experienced that. And I notice, you know, I can tell like if I haven't been eating enough, it'll show up in my milk supply usually. And in a way it's a blessing because it's a barometer. Because think about it. Right. If we weren't nursing, we would have to rely on some other, you know, barometer to kind of give us the, hey, caution, you need to make sure you're really tanking here on your nutrition. And, you know, so in a way it is interesting that it's kind of that yeah. same kind of barometer. And the milk supply, of course, is, you know, it's interesting because it's also you providing, like you said, for you and another human. And then when you're pregnant, of course, it's your body gauging. Do we have enough here to provide for you, your body, and another body? So
right.
it has to feel safe and okay. And not only just, you know, because you can get by, right? You can get by with breastfeeding with low supply and it, you know, it, and just not really know it or address it.
Uh-huh.
But it can sometimes pull from you. Of course, that's what they say happens with pregnancy. If there's a deficiency, they'll pull from you. And if you don't have mm-hmm. it, they just don't get it. But usually it pulls from you. So you need a right. lot in order to sustain health for you and for your child so that there it's not drawing from an empty bank account and there's nothing there. So...
Right.
Yeah. But that's just something worth mentioning too.
And then something really that would seem really obvious, but it's worth mentioning is if you can't stop thinking about food all the time.
Oh yes.
If you think, oh, I'm eating plenty, you know, I'm eating 3 square meals a day plus snacks, but then you still can't stop thinking about food.
Mm-hmm.
Then really think about the fact that it might not be that you have a quote unquote problem with food. Maybe you need more.
Maybe
you
know? You're just hungry. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Maybe you're just hungry. Exactly. Cause I know that was the case for me. I thought that I was eating plenty, you know, all growing up. I thought that I was eating fine cause I would eat 3 square meals a day plus snacks, but I couldn't stop thinking about food all the time. And it's like, it's because I wasn't getting enough. And so just adding in more, whenever you're full, you don't think about food.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
whenever you're thinking about like after Thanksgiving dinner or something, and you're just like comfortably full, the last thing you want to think about is, man, I'm so hungry. I need to go eat more food. Like it just makes sense that if your body's got enough, it shuts off the hunger signals for a while. You can chill. You can think about other things.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's for sure. Yeah. It kind of frees your mind. And that's hopefully what with this podcast, we're kind of helping pointing you in that direction of we're trying to help it take a burden off of your mind, because let's face it, we all have a lot of other things on our mind that, right. you know, and it's just adding the food to stress out about adds another level to your mind. That's just not necessary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I noticed that for me personally, if I say, for example, in my mind, which I haven't for a long time, but, you know, I'm not going to eat X. Like for X many days, or if I am going to eat it, I'm only allowed to eat it on X days before X time if I've done X activity. You know, I used mm-hmm. to do that. Like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to have ice creams for the weekend or whatever, you know, those kind of things. I would put up those mm-hmm. sort of, you know, qualifications. And I noticed that whenever I would restrict or say, you know, oh, I'm not going to have that. I'm not allowed to have that. I would just immediately obsess over it, like nonstop. Right. It's just one of those things that I've noticed. And so if you make things more neutral and you're like, I could have this, I could have that, I'm choosing this. And you don't just get into that mindset of I'm going to restrict this and restrict uh-huh. that. And obviously, like I said, there's medical stuff, there's allergies, you know, like we were saying, you do well with no dairy. And that's why we were talking about the no dairy ice cream. You know, everybody's different, but you shouldn't, I don't know. I feel like that it's one of those things that I see all the time that people are like, hey, you shouldn't, you know, and for example, sugar, we're going to have to do podcasts on sugar because I have dug up some extremely interesting things about sugar. Like my mind was kind of blown a little bit because that's the biggest, great. Sugar is the biggest demon. Like, right?
It's
just the biggest thing. And I mean, not to mention a couple decades ago, it was fat. And now they're like, oh, but just these kinds of fat. And then before that, it was, carbs and sugar. Let's just say both of those. But yeah, but like sugar, for example, the studies that they had done, the different groups of people eating the sugar, I'll briefly describe it, but the different groups, there's three groups of people and all of them had different levels of sugar consumption in their day. And so there was no group where they were not eating any sugar in this study.
Interesting.
The entire study that we based the sugar, like sugar causes, the gold standard study that's on PubMed, they had three groups of people and they did not have a group where people were eating absolute zero sugar. But guess what? The people at the bottom end of the sugar consumption, the bottom tier of the three, the third tier being literally like they were drinking soda instead of water. Like, let's just be real. That's the spectrum, right? And so the people on the lower end of the spectrum who still ate sugar every single day, they had the lowest occurrence of all of these bad, scary things that they are saying, you know, sugar. So it's a correlation causation deal. But we need to do a whole podcast on that.
Because we should.
It's one of those, that's usually people's fear food. And we also need to do one on fear food. So, you know, that's one of people's scary things. And for me, sugar was always a scary thing. And I would just obsess. And when I finally said, it's okay for me to have it, then guess what? Right now I kind of take it or leave it. If I want it, I have it. If I don't have it, big deal. I'm not going to let it occupy my brain space. You know, it's not worth it to me to be completely stressed out about, and you know, it's just one of those things. So,
but it's interesting that stress seems to be the underlying factor of all of these things. We all know how bad stress is for our bodies. And it's just, you know, under eating or obsessing over a perfect diet or being terrified of gaining weight. Mm-hmm. All of these are stressors, and they can cause physical stressors like not sleeping well and your body not being able to have a period and your thyroid not functioning well and low milk supply and all the different things we've mentioned, all puts a tremendous amount of stress on your body. And if you think about it, you know, we're not assuming that you're Christians listening to this podcast, but both of us are Christians. And I was thinking recently, because my milk supply was suffering again and I was trying to bump it back up.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the fact that we don't often consider the very simple fact that if the healthy thing we're doing, quote unquote healthy, as in dieting or cutting out a particular food group or severely limiting a food group in the pursuit of health, if that is affecting your actual health, like sleep, reproduction, pregnancy, digestion, like if it's affecting your actual health negatively, then what you're doing is not healthy.
Yes.
If it is not helping you to thrive as a human being, then it's not healthy. Sorry to break it to you.
Yes.
You know?
Like, for example, no matter how, I'm just going to pick on keto again, just because I'm sure we'll get some trolls about this. But, you know, no matter how on paper, how healthy on paper your super restricted keto hardcore diet is, no matter how restrict or how nice that looks on paper, like this is going to be great for you because of X, Y, Z. If it causes you to be stressed out of your mind every day and constantly telling people, I can't meet you for lunch at this restaurant because they don't serve the thing that I have. And I don't want to be tempted, you know, by the pizza. I want to bring my own food. Like, it's just a mind prison. just a mind prison. And I've been there. If you can name a diet, I have probably done it in my past, not necessarily from a place of unhealthiness, although a lot of them were, but just from experimental, because I was, you know, with being a nutritional therapist, I was like, I want to know what it's like, you know, to do all these different ones. And it is, it just really messes with your mind, you know? So
it does. And just consider as a Christian, like if the diet or calorie restriction or whatever you're doing is going against the way that God made your body to function, then, you know,
yes,
might want to think about that. Exactly.
Is it for health or is it for control over your body?
Right.
You know, and what it's
hard to separate those sometimes, you know, but it's worth digging into, because looking healthy, or, you know, dropping 10, 15, 20, I don't know, 30 pounds, and everybody saying, wow, you look so healthy, and your actual health suffering. Just don't try to fight against the way that God made your body, I guess is what I'm saying. And just kind of think about all these different factors. Mm-hmm. Consider maybe, you know, maybe count calories, maybe check up on your sleep and your thyroid and all that. And then maybe consider it might be a super simple, easy, pleasurable fix of just eating more.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And a tasty one too. I mean, that's right, a great fix, exactly. Right? I mean, it's worth a try. Right. It's worth a try. And the only thing you have to lose is you might gain a little bit of weight. Like, it's funny to say that, but what, you know, the saying, what do you have to lose? It's like, right. Well, we don't know if you'll lose anything, but we know what you'll gain. We know that you will probably notice, oh, I just feel better, you know. So anyway, definitely experiment and try it out for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have anything else? I think that's all we had.
I think that's it. And I'm sure that there are other lists, but those are the really common ones. Yeah. But yeah, that's it.
And I was going to say too, if anybody has, we might need to do an episode soon that is questions, like answering questions. So yeah. If anybody has a question, feel free to email us or message us on Instagram or send a message on the website. If you have any specific questions on this episode or any of the other things that we've said, we'd be glad to do a question, listener questions. Yes. That would be really fun.
So, yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will talk to you guys next time. Thanks for listening.
Bye. Bye.
Content, check us out on Instagram. We're at instagram.com/dietdetox. We'll see you next time.